The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 23, 1995 in Miami, Florida. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 20, Verse 53.
Report by His Divine Grace Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word virakti-mad in this verse means possessed of the qualification of renunciation. Spiritual realization cannot be attained by materialistic persons. For those who are addicted to sense enjoyment, spiritual realization is not possible. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that those who are too attached to seeking material possessions and material enjoyment cannot reach yoga samadhi, absorption in Krishna consciousness. Propagating that one can enjoy this life materially and at the same time spiritually advance is simply bogus. The principles of renunciation are four. 1. To avoid illicit sex. 2. To avoid meat eating. 3. To avoid intoxication. And 4. To avoid gambling. These four principles are called tapasya or austerity. To absorb the mind in the Supreme and Krishna consciousness is the process of spiritual realization. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. So, from these verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see how the different residents of the different levels of the universe were created. How He created the Siddhas, the Kimparushas, and how He had given also to Manu. Manu is the progenitor of human race. From Manu, the human beings were brought to this planet. If you try to figure out the evolution, the mundaners are trying to figure out the evolution as if everything started here, but they don't realize that at some point in time, human beings were brought to this planet from another planet. We don't originally, we're not always here, but when Manu came into being, there are other creatures created before Manu. When he came into being, then they gave a big applause. They said, this is a very good entity. They appreciated Brahma's creation, humans. This is a good. They all gave an applause. Mentions here in the 50th verse. On seeing the Manus, those who had been created earlier, the demigods, Gandharvas, and so on, applauded Brahma, the Lord of the universe. Because the human beings are connected with the higher living entities in a unique way. The higher living entities have got subtle type of bodies. They don't need to eat to live. They have another ecosystem, ecological system. They depend upon human beings having sacrifice. And by the humans having sacrifice, they're able to live and get strength. It's a lean period right now in the heavenly planets. That's why they appreciate very much this Prabhu doing his Harinam. The Devas are getting a feast every time you chant the holy name. Regularly feeding. How often goes out now? 6 days a week, which is the fast day for the Devas. So but here the temple has their Sunday feast, so. Anyway, a lot of temples do Sunday feasts, so Devas can survive one day, that day anyway. It's not, of course, how this actually works is something quite inconceivable to us. But the administrators of the universe, they get tax. When we offer worship to Krishna, they get a share of it. Just like when you offer your taxes to the central government, then some of it comes back to the state government for the interstate and for different funds, education and so on. So even though you offer the worship to Krishna, the devas also, they get directly from Krishna some blessing. So the way they see it, it's coming. When people worship the devas directly, then the devas may also give. But what happens is, like nowadays, people don't tend to offer the worship properly. If it's not offered properly, then they don't get. So before the devas were seeing that people on the planet were performing spiritual activities, they would promote it. On the other hand, there's always this fight going between the devas and the demons. The demons who are out to get the devas, they feel that the humans, by doing sacrifice, are helping the devas. So they want to infiltrate within the human race and stop all forms of sacrifice. In this way, the demons get powerfuler, and the demigods, the devas, devatas, they become weaker. When Bali Maharaj achieved, we just recently had Vamana Dwadasi observed here also, I'm sure. So it mentions in the Bhagavad that when Bali Maharaj achieved, conquered Indra, Puri, and sat on the seat of Indra, at that time he could control the whole three worlds. But his guru and the brahmanas told him that being in the heavenly planets, you will burn up so much good karma that you will not be able to stay here very long. Therefore, you have to do sacrifice. So the devas, they can do sacrifice themselves also, not that they're only dependent on us. It's like a bonus. When we do it, they also share. So that makes them have an interest to send spiritual people from the higher planets to this planet to uplift the society. And according to the Mormons, they say that Jesus is a son of Lord Brahma. He's a Manasputra of Brahma. I'm not saying, I have no way of documenting that one way or the other. But they did mention like that. Of course, because their concept of God the Father is he's only a creator of one universe, and there are many such universes with many similar creators, and each one has Jesus as a son, one of his sons, the best son. So it fits more or less the description of our Lord Brahma's, with the Ananta Koti Brahmanda, unlimited Brahmandas. Whether he's a son of Brahma or he's come from a higher planet, but occasionally these devas, they do come down. And when Lord Chaitanya was here, there were many devas who came down and participated in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 2 and the purports, some of the people who came for the residence of the higher planets. Of course, Lord Brahma came as Haridas Thakur, Brahma Haridas. Like that, different associates came. Kartikeya came as someone, I forget. So, the verse today tells that the sons of Lord Brahma have got some special potency. Brahma kept his body pure, so his body was characterized by these good qualities and many more. Deep meditation, mental concentration, supernatural power, austerity, adoration, and renunciation. This adoration of Krishna, these qualities of Lord Brahma were handed down to his mental sons by great rishis. I mean, these are the qualities of Lord Brahma that were very prominent. You can see how pure Lord Brahma is, that his body naturally has these good qualities. People, previously the persons who were born in a brahminical family would have this type of good qualities. And most of the brahmanas, the gotras of the brahmanas, you can trace back to some mental son of Brahma. Like they'll say, what's your gotra? Bharadraj gotra, the Kasyapa gotra, different Prajapatis who were progenitors. They trace it back. It was quite interesting because this is nowhere written. It's just what the son heard from the father, that we originally are coming from this Prajapati. So it was handed, that information has been handed down since the beginning of humankind. Since the creation, that this is the progenitor we're coming from, just from father to son. Of course, in the West, we lost our link from the Prajapati. We're like not the pedigree dogs, the other ones. Mixed. And, of course, even though the pedigree is their name in India, but they never necessarily kept up the proper practices either. So in Kali Yuga, there's a big problem. Kalo Sudra Sambhavat. Kali Yuga, everyone is born more with the Sudra qualities. But by samskaras, by spiritual rectification, then one can get purified and can achieve these spiritual qualities. So, the Manas Putras, or mental sons of Brahma, they immediately had all these great qualities. The other way of getting such qualities is by a gradual cultivation through spiritual practices and Brahminical culture. These are called Brahma Tej, potency of the spiritual Brahman, which is within Lord Brahma Dev also. These kind of qualities are not the qualities that people are really appreciating so much nowadays. If there's someone who can do deep meditation, has mental concentration, supernatural power, austerity and renunciation, adoration of the Lord, those don't seem to be in the newspapers as the things that people are looking for. They're trying to find who can jump higher, who can run faster, who is more physically powerful who can knock out the other guy in some fight is in a very low level. But in the Vedic culture, they would appreciate these higher qualities. If someone had developed these qualities, they were worshipable. People weren't considered worshipable because they had become very physically strong, or because physically they were very developed. That was a Sudra quality. Physically, if you became, or some extent, Kshatriya. So those two were more into the physical side. Shudras for the working and the Kshatriyas for the fighting, the ministry. The people would respect the Brahminical culture because they had all these higher good qualities, which allowed them to see things as they were. In a very objective way. When Lord Chaitanya was a little baby, just a toddler, he was walking in the courtyard. He wasn't able to walk very well, he was very young. Somehow he could just barely kind of walk. Sometime he was crawling, that age. So he was sitting in the courtyard and Mother Sachi then picked him up and sat down and was feeding him her breast milk. But all of a sudden, at that time, her courtyard filled with celestial beings. The armors and different flower garlands and helmets and crowns and decorations. And some with one head, some with two heads, some with different numbers of hands and different features. She was amazed to see all these denizens from other planets suddenly appear within her house. She wanted to call her husband. Jagannath Misra was that time taking rest in the pujari room right next to the altar room, in a little pujari room there. He's taking a nap. But she was frozen. She couldn't move. She couldn't speak. Kind of like what the UFO people say happens. She was completely frozen, and they just took the baby from her lap, and she wanted to scream. But no sound was coming, nothing was happening. And she saw that then they had immediately assembled a jewel Singhasan in the middle of her courtyard and put the baby Chaitanya there on the top, and some priestly looking denizen from the higher planet came and he organized a Mahabhishek of baby Gauranga. Gauranga! They all were chanting, Gauranga! What were they chanting? Gauranga! They chanted louder than that. She could feel the whole universe filling with the sound of Gauranga! And there was the cymbals playing, and there was musical instruments, and so much sound was there. She's wondering, why Jagannath Misra is not waking up? Why my husband's waking up? So much noise. Conch shells blowing. They're doing this Abhishek. And then they dried off the baby, put him on the ground, and then the Mai started to walk on the veranda of the house, and she could hear the sound of ankle bells, ching, 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 ching. But she looked. He had no ankle bells. The sound was still coming. Then Lord Chaitanya turned to all of the devas. They're all standing there with folded hands, and he said, chant, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They all began chanting and dancing. And when they were dancing, then Nimai, he started, the little child, Gauranga, started to dance. And when Mother Sachi saw Nimai dancing and all these residents of the higher planets all doing kirtan and dancing, it became too much for her brain. She fell over. When she fell, boom, she hit the ground. She hit the ground. That sound Jagannath Mishra could hear. Sachi, my dear Sachi, are you all right? What was that sound? Immediately she woke up and hearing his voice, started crying. He ran out and said, what's wrong? And she went, ran to him and grabbed him and was just crying. She says, what's wrong? Why are you crying? You know, she's just like so pent up, all the things she just saw. She looked around. Everything was like it was before. Then Nimai was in the sun playing with something. She told what she had seen. She said, what is it? Is it just a dream? Did it really happen? It looked, you didn't see any yogurt or all the things, Abhishek, there was no matter, no, there's no symptom or anything happening. So, well, so, Jagannath said, well, must have just been a dream. And while they were talking, you know, then they heard this ankle bells, ding, ding, ding. They saw Nimai walking. And the sound of ankle bells was coming, but there was no ankle bells on his feet. Maybe it is true. Maybe it did happen. Of course, the devas, they can manifest all these things and they can leave and not leave any trace. They can do it on another dimension, which he could see, but he could not see or hear. Lord Chaitanya is the Lord of all the worlds. He's the Lord of all the planets. He's the Lord of the spiritual and the material world. Self-realization means to absorb the consciousness in Krishna. Anything which takes our mind away from absorbing ourselves in Krishna, that's maya. It's an obstacle. So at least we need to have a regular period every day when we're absorbing ourselves in Krishna. The Lord Chaitanya is coming in this world. It was a very special occurrence. Yogis, they absorb themselves by doing the pranayama, and it's a very difficult process, takes so many years and years and years to do it. Lifetimes. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, even the great yogis, they are anxious to join the Sankirtan movement. For some yogis, his mystic powers are obstacles. We know the story about the yogi that got in trouble with Abhiram Thakur. You know, Abhiram Thakur was one of our Nityananda's associates. He was Sridham in Krishna Leela, and he was directly integrated in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He never went back to the spiritual world, actually. He had hung around in Govardhan in a cave. That's another whole story. How Nityananda came there and claimed him. He went and started calling out, "Sridhar, come out! Come out of the cave!" And Sridhar was in there feeling separation from Krishna. He came out. He said, "Who are you? You're a midget." Because he was still at Dwapara Yuga size. People were much bigger. "This is Kali Yuga. I'm Balaram." "You don't look like Balaram. Why are you so small?" "I told you, it's Kali Yuga. Everybody's smaller now. So I took this form." "If you're Balaram, then Balaram, he could always beat me in a race around Govardhan. So let's see if you're really Balaram. On your mark, get set, go!" And he was off. Nityananda was running and going around the Govardhan, going all the way around to the far bend, going around all the straight away, and going fully around Govardhan Hill, all the way to the other side, neck to neck running, Sridhar and Nityananda. Then going around the final turn coming, and it was Nityananda in the lead, and it was Nityananda all the way. Nitai Govardhani Harihivo! Then Sridhar said, "Yes, okay, you must be Balaram. No one else could defeat me." "So what is all this you're talking about, Kali Yuga? Hari, you don't know, it's been here for 5,000 years. I was just thinking about Kanai, Krishna. Time must have gone. So look here, Kanai has already gone back to the Goloka and come back again. He's come now as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, as the son of Sachi, and he's in Navadvip. And I just got the information that he's starting the Sankirtan movement. He's going to be spreading the holy names. So why don't you come and join us?" He said, "All right, I would like to do that, but you can't go like this, you know." He's just like, "You come over here." And Nityananda put his hand on his head, shrunk him down to Kali Yuga size. "It's okay, let's go." And the two of them went to Navadvip. So, there are many pastimes. Abhiram Thakur was always there. And then he went with, he also was in Jagannath Puri, but then he went back with Nityananda when he was sent to preach in Bengal. So at one point, Nityananda assigned him an area for preaching, and he was responsible for delivering that whole area. And he had a team of Sankirtan devotees, and they would plan out where to do Harinam, where to have festivals, where to do different kinds of programs, house programs, how to bring all the people to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. They systematically worked out the programs. And this way, he established a beautiful temple at Gopinath, and a big kunda built. And Nityananda, he would be going around Bengal when he went to that area. It's by the side of a river called the Kana River. So it's called Kanakula Krishnanagara, this place of Krishna. Not the Krishnanagara by Mayapur, but there's another one in Hooghly district. So there was a very big tree called the Bakul tree. This is a special tree with very small flowers. And small leaves also. Leaves are like so big and the flowers are just small, but highly scented. When you make a garland from those flowers, even you can keep it for 6 months. When it dries, it always has a good scent also. So usually there's a few... This tree is favorite tree for japa and resting because the leaves are so small and they're very thick. So it's a very good shade. Under that tree, it's very cooling. You know, some have trees, scraggly leaves, so a lot of the sunlight goes through you. But this is heavy, so you get a real cool breeze there. The heat doesn't come in at all to the Bokul tree. So there's a favorite tree, after big kirtans, harinams, the Nityananda Prabhu would sit there with his associates and they would discuss Krishna katha. They'd rest a little bit, take some prasad, whatever, different pastime went there. So there was this one mystic yogi, and he came, he heard about Abhiram Thakur. And so he came to visit. And he saw this big bokul tree and he said, well, I want to see where this Abhiram Thakur is at. He just used some of his mystic power up and zapped the tree and burned it to ash. One disciple ran in and told Abhiram Thakur, some crazy yogi just came and burned down Nityananda's favorite tree, the bokul tree. He said, what? This is ridiculous. Why did he do that? That's Nityananda Prabhu's favorite tree. He always rests there. Where's he going to sit after kirtan? He was so angry, he ran out and saw the ashes. He said, this cannot be. Nityananda Prabhu is coming here any day now. So he used his powers, which normally he didn't use. He just acted like a human being. But as a liberated soul, he also had his powers. As the eternal associate of the Lord, so he just he was so angry, he just said, all right, tree, re-manifest, resurrect. And he gave a blessing that you will give flowers 12 months in a year, but no fruits. Usually after the flower come the fruits. But this tree will just give flower, no fruit. It's like a brahmachari. Something like that, I don't know, you know, whatever. Just always virgin tree or whatever you want to call it. That only gives fruits, only gives flowers, never conceives. Give constant flowers. So, tree came back, resurrected, bigger than ever, filled with flowers. The yogi was standing there looking and it's one thing to burn down something, but to build it up like that, better than it was and full with flowers. He says, Abhiram Thakur is very powerful. Then Abhiram Thakur, now after he'd finished with taking care of the tree, then he turned to look at the yogi. The yogi said, uh-oh, I made a big mistake. By offending this devotee, he's not he thought, what are these bhakti yogis? They're just a bunch of wimps, you know. They just chant and dance, they don't, you know. But he was messing around with the wrong bhakta. So then suddenly he realized that he made a big mistake and he decided that discretion was the better part of valor. And immediately he surrendered at the lotus feet of Abhiram and said that I surrender. He said, well, if you surrender to me, you have to give up all this mystic yoga tricks and things and engage now in devotional service. Don't get distracted by all these things. Now you need to chant Hare Krishna, participate in the Sankirtan Yajna. You're not going around showing off all these tricks to everyone and distracting people's minds. We want to engage them in loving devotional service to the Lord. So, the yogi, he became the pure devotee in due course. He joined the Sankirtan party. So like that, sometimes these yogis, they create disturbance, you know, because they get puffed up with their powers. And of course, Abhiram Thakur, he could deal with it. These are, for us, we had to follow Abhiram Thakur's advice. He said, you should just get absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That is really the thing, because Krishna is in the most elevated platform. He's the highest platform. He's one without a second. And by being fully absorbed in Him, one automatically can achieve all types of spiritual success. So the easiest way to be absorbed in the Kali Yuga is by the Sankirtan process. Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting and remembering the holy names, chanting the holy names of Vishnu. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hidai Gaur Siddhama Primanandi Hari Hari Go. Any questions? Preguntas, perfectas? Any questions? Comments? That one's in the Chaitanya Mangal. In the pastimes about Sridham or Abhiram Thakur, there's a book published by the disciples of Abhiram Thakur, which is something, I forget the name of it, but you get it at Abhiram Thakur's birthplace. We went there and the tree is still there, that Siddha Bokul, and they show how inside of it is hollow, like hollowed out and just came manifest from the ashes. And the flowers were still there, it wasn't the season for flowers, and it was covered with flowers. We went and saw that the deity, the people are very friendly there. No devotees, we're the first ones to ever go. But they're very friendly and they said, please come again. There's a very big temple and it's interesting because in that temple they do all the deity worship with the doors open. They put on the dressing, abhishek, everything with the doors open. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur went there and saw that temple and he was surprised himself at how they're doing. But Abhiram Thakur, he set it up like that. Even they lay the deities down to rest in front of everyone, and then finally when they rest, then they close the curtain. There's a very beautiful deity. And Abhiram Thakur, I wasn't clear. Either he had a deity made of himself, and he went and entered inside of it, or he just himself sat down on a yoga asana, in some like meditation asana or japa asana or something, and he turned into a deity. One of the two. I was not so clear about that one. But there's a deity there, Abhiram Thakur. Either way, he's there. Many amazing things about his personality. Then here's a direct associate of the Lord. He's engaged in preaching, he's engaged in sankirtan. Directly, planning it, going out, sending parties. It shows how this is one of the transcendental ways of serving the Lord. It's not a mundane thing, otherwise why would he do it? It's completely a spiritual activity. Just like when he was a cowherd boy, he would go with Krishna with the cows and grazing. That seems to be a material thing, right? Grazing cows. But with Krishna, it's a transcendental pastime. So similarly with Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, he would be doing the Sankirtan preaching. The difference is, you know, if you go with cows now, you don't get the same sense. But if you go, maybe you do if you're in that mood, I don't know, I have to ask that. But not so much, unless you're really a great devotee. But in the Sankirtan movement, if we do Sankirtan, we can directly experience the presence of Lord Chaitanya there. It's a continuation of his pastimes. Well, we have demoniac and godly natures within us. It used to be that people were more polarized. You'd find people that were all godly or all demoniac. But nowadays, people have both the qualities within them. You see people with a mix. And there's an internal fight going on. Who overcomes, the godly or the demoniac? And Kali's influence, you can see, making people become demoniac sometimes. But if you expose them to the Harinam and Ratyatras and Prasadam, you can see that people also have a godly side to them. And there are also many other religious programs going on. that brings out some of the godly aspect to a certain extent, although maybe not so much as the Harinam. So instead of having these big demons and big devas on the earth, you get people who have a little of both, and it's up to us to bring out their spiritual qualities. Although occasionally you may find a very great soul come, or you may find a very demoniac soul come, but it's more rare now. Hare Krishna.